I'm ETJ.
And I'm Dan.
And you're listening to Season 2, Episode 12 of Crossing the Thames. This week we discuss Spurs plundering the Wolves.
Arsenal and Liverpool share the spoils.
And Lord Bintner gets locked in the brig. Arr!
What is wrong with you?
Ahoy there, matey. What ye thee be drinking?
I totally
threw myself.
That caught me so off guard. I don't think. Well, I know we've never started a podcast off that way, and I was like, I mean, I know Halloween just happened, but I just got pirated.
We totally could address that for a Halloween special podcast.
So here's the problem: I'm not actually drinking anything because I gulped it down while we were
just
because
you were greedy with your crop, Dan.
But so we had a few episodes where we drank beers, and
which I thought we were going to do tonight. I actually asked my wife to put a couple in the fridge so they'd be cold, and you're like, I've got my own drink.
Yeah, so, I asked.
So I was like, fine, you can have my beer then.
I asked if I could bring my own just because I had this bottle of Kraken spiced black spiced rum.
Which, some crack stuff right here.
Well, and anybody who's like, you know, a rum aficionado probably would laugh because this is like the cheap stuff in the grocery store. But I like it. I've had a few others.
This is like slow carb approved as well. Bourbon is actually something you can have.
You know, it's funny. We're trying really hard not to have sugar. I forgot you're doing the slow carb thing. I'm trying really hard not to have sugar just for my health. And my wife and I were talking about it. And anyhow, she sees me a couple days ago pull down my bottle of rum. And she's like, looks at me. I was like, this is the one exception.
Ah, dang it. It's got sugar in it.
Yeah, it does. Did you? Sorry.
Really?
Bourbon
can be sweet and it doesn't even have sugar in it.
Bourbon doesn't have sugar? I thought all liqueurs.
I googled it.
Had sugar.
I googled it and I was like,
I could be wrong. I'm not an expert on this at all.
Slow.
Are we going to do this on the podcast? Not only are we searching, but we're not searching for football stuff.
Well, you
could
talk about football
searching on
and I could just
bourbon.
Ignore you while you read this.
But you always ignore me. Like that's nothing new.
Huh?
Yeah. So did you dress up for Halloween like a pirate? Is that where this all comes from?
This year we actually took photos at work from everybody that dressed up. Like we had one person dress up as a shark.
Oh, Tia was awesome.
Tia was like in this massive like...
It was the blueberry from Willy Wonka, right?
I don't think that's actually what she meant to be. But that's actually kind of what it turned out.
It was the greatest costume. I look at this picture and she's just this big round blue ball.
So yeah, it's basically like this purple fat suit. And actually the thing on her head is actually a mask that you're supposed to pull over your face, but she wouldn't do it. So it's funny when you go up to her, it's like... There's like a fan.
Oh, to keep
like,
her cool?
In her back and it just constantly... Like blows air
to keep it open.
So she's constantly like shivering everywhere she goes because it's like blowing cold air into the suit. Of course, she's dressed underneath it, but it's like still, it's like it's cold, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a good time. I pretty much wore what I normally wear, which was jeans, a button-up shirt, and a cardigan. So I said that I was Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Or just Old Man Fittis, which is also what they call me.
I don't think Mr. Rogers says some of the things I've heard you say though. I think there's a
darn tootin'. I don't know what you're talking about.
So last year I got a pair of glasses. I have a very short haircut and I wore a turtleneck, a black turtleneck, and I looked somewhat like Steve Jobs, a much larger, fatter version of him, but thought that was hilarious. This year I did absolutely nothing. I forgot it was Halloween day of.
I actually just don't get Halloween, honestly. I think it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, I mean, just go buy your kids some candy and call it a day.
But, we went to the Harvest Festival thing at church.
Yeah.
And Sophie was Moana.
Yeah.
Which was actually pretty
cute. It was cute. I saw the pictures. Yeah.
She's two. And so, like, I go up to her and I'm like, hey, are you Moana? And she just looks at me and she's like, Moana. Like, kind of has this, like, look on her face, like, yeah, I'm Moana. And just kind of.
Still think you should have dressed as the Northern Irish, less muscular version of Maui. I think that would have been.
With
hilarious.
The cliched Hawaiian tattoos all over.
Yeah. In the not an axe, the swordy thing, whatever it is. I was doing a Jurgen Klopp celebration with one hand. Anyhow, so TJ.
Yes, Dan.
What else is going on? Before we move to football, we have to have some more fun conversation.
Well, I was looking at there's like this alcohol cheat sheet.
You're still stuck on this.
So the Kraken actually is listed here as zero carbs.
Really?
105 cal.
And, you know, probably says on the bottle. I got this Costco. Costco-sized, like, this is literally the largest bottle of anything. Yeah, no, it doesn't say.
The bourbon I like isn't listed here, but using Jack Daniels or Jim Beam as a model, zero carbs, 104 cal. What is a cal?
Calories?
How does it... I guess maybe that's what it is.
I don't know what else a cal could be. But I thought that sugar was used for distilling... That's, like, super
loud, by the way.
Sorry. This is literally... Like, when you think of the Kraken, it's like the world's largest octopus that, like, destroys your boat, right?
I just love the artwork more than
anything. It is a cool artwork. But this bottle, this is a... So it's 94 proof, by the way. So that's cool. We had close to 50% alcohol there.
That's nothing. But I mean, it's a tiny amount of booze.
This is a 1.75 liter bottle of
booze. For anyone who's actually listening, it's like these are little rinky-dink glasses.
Yeah, we're not like drinking.
Maybe two shot glasses in one.
We're drinking a couple ounces.
Mostly ice, so Mom, calm down.
Yeah, we're just drinking a couple ounces. It's not going to be bad. I actually bought this bottle because I actually really like this stuff, but I only drink maybe once a week. So I buy the big bottle to save money, and it lasts me quite a few months.
As I'm looking through this list of booze, I'll tell you what dangerous alcohol is. Cider. Alcoholic cider, because it doesn't taste like booze.
Yeah.
It just tastes like sweet stuff. And, like, before you know it, you're like, whoa.
It's a good thing I'm not so into cider, because it doesn't tempt me.
Really? You don't like apples?
I like it. It's just not my thing.
Who doesn't like apples, Dan?
I don't like avocados. Everybody likes avocados.
I don't know what to say. I mean, This is where we draw the line between you being a Gen X, I guess, and me being a millennial. Because, like, you can't diss avocados.
I guess I am Gen X, huh?
I think millennials.
You're one of those lazy millennials. That's your problem. Oh, what's that now?
I think millennials start with my year, 85 on. I think before that, there's like this little pocket of Gen X that gets screwed over by the baby boomers.
Okay. Speaking of getting screwed over, should we move into football talk now? Because
but you have to hit your little pause thing when you do the editing, because I didn't get my chair. I mean,
you got squeaky chair. Just change chairs.
It's like we're on the Jolly Roger over here as a bunch of pirates.
Hey, I was just scraping a huge bottle of liquor across the table, and just switch chairs. Who cares? We get a little bit of squeaky.
I was thinking I had a little moment where I thought my little squeaker would be useful.
Oh, you couldn't use your honker.
And then I reached for my honker and it didn't work.
Nothing like trying to squeeze honkers and them not being there.
Sounds like a really bad joke that could go really, really poorly.
Well, that was kind of where I was starting, but I wanted to stop because...
Like, just stop.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
Just stop. Is it? Why? See, that's why we don't...
We're somewhere in the middle, right?
Because I'm telling you, 13-year-olds don't listen to this with their moms. It's going to be like 35-year-old guys living in their mom's basement is probably what it is.
Brad's older than me by a couple years.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
I mean,
because you're old.
I just recently Facebook friended him, which I should have a long time ago because you've been his Facebook friend for a while. But I went and I kind of Facebook stalked him. Sorry, Brad. I just had to know
what was
going on.
Does Zuck list his age?
He puts it in the About Me thing on Facebook.
Well, that's Brad's fault.
He has his birth date in there, so I could see his birth date and compare it to mine.
I can't believe he's older than you.
Yeah, only...
I thought he was, like, maybe
younger than me. I think he was born in 79. I was born in 80.
He's
so
just
he's
such
not
a good-looking guy, though.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to here. So we were talking about getting screwed. And so I think, you know, the problem here is that this particular topic, we could actually do, like, a two-hour podcast on if you get me going, so I'll try to be under control here. And the reality is nothing's actually set in stone yet.
Oh, you're
so
talking about the Super League.
I'm talking about the freaking Super League.
I wasn't listening to you, man.
Yeah, so I'm working. Yeah, I know. I'm working, and all of a sudden I get a text from TJ like, ha ha ha, Spurs isn't in this, Arsenal is. And sends me this link to this idea for this European Super League that supposedly leaked out. Which I think there's a legitimacy to it.
Our whole work week is pretty much me sending Dan things that go along the lines of Arsenal rules and Spurs drool.
Yeah. Mine typically is more kind of comedy in football. I try to send him things I think are funny, but sometimes...
Some of these useless memes that I don't even pay attention to.
Oh, I discovered... Like, I knew it existed, I just never used it. The animated GIF thing in iOS, so you can, like, send in-text animated GIFs. And I started typing in, like, football team names, and there's some great, great animated GIFs that you can send people... Like the one where you were saying you hoped Spurs lost to Wolves right before the game, and then I found the one with the Wolverhampton player who's like going to do the knee slide, and he like hits the ground and doesn't slide and just face plants. It was awesome.
Have you tried doing that? It's hard.
I imagine.
I think the grass has to be really wet.
So the Super League thing. I've got so much I can say about this, but why don't you... I'm going to let you open up and explain it for everybody, and then I can take off into my rant.
So every, like, 5 to 10 years, the football royalty gets together and says, hey, let's form a little club, shall we, where we kick out all of the Spursy teams and don't let them come play with us. Mainly, you know, your Besiktas and your Shakhtars and your Spartaks.
So they're just Ukrainian or Russian teams, huh?
I was trying to think of that other team that we spanked, Karabakh, Fenerbahce, Azerbaijanian, like pretty much all of your like dumpy countries. Can I say that? Can I say that on the air?
Well, let's not pick on the countries. Let's just say the teams, the lower quality teams that make it in higher quality tournaments because of the region
dumpy teams from the dumpy countries, like. That play in the Champions League. Like, we're just tired of flying to Azerbaijan, and we're tired of flying to Turkey because it's a little close to like Syria. You never know what could happen. So, what if we just band together and form our own little super league where only us like super teams can be, and everyone else can just, you know, I don't know, go do their own thing. And every 5 to 10 years, I hear about this, and then it never comes to anything because I think what it is it's a negotiating tactic of the big teams to put the squeeze on UEFA to give them more money from Champions League TV revenue. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is a pretty consistent tactic. I mean, the Premier League is an example of this. The Premier League was basically a super league of English teams that was started, you know, with the influence of Sky Sports, I think with Rupert Murdoch, if that's his name.
The Fox actually, guy.
And since then, you know, when I was in high school, there were these conversations around bringing Celtic and Rangers into the EPL and dumping the remainder of the Scottish Premier League. Because, especially when I was in high school, Rangers and Celtic were both, like, at least as good as Everton. Like, I don't know that they're as good as Everton today, but back in the day, they were. And so the idea was that they could have been kind of part of a top six because there wasn't really... There wasn't even really like a top three. So you add them in, maybe you end up with a top five, top six in the EPL. And I think, again, it probably came back down to TV money. It was like, it was just a tactic to say like, hey, give us more money because we're really the ones that bring the eyeballs to the TV stations because no one watches Hearts versus Hibs, right?
Yeah.
In the Scottish League. Although there's plenty of, you know,
like, well, fans, true fans.
Well, yeah, Scottish people are like, hey, don't mess with me Hearts, you know, something like that.
You're back into pirate talk again. Yeah, don't like, mess with me Hearts.
Like, pirates and Scottish people all get kind of lumped in the same folder for me. So,
okay, I get this, right? But I feel like this is more than just the rumored every 5 years thing you're talking about. I haven't been in football for long, but I've been following it for a little over 10 years now. And so I'm keenly aware that this has been an ongoing conversation. This is the first time, though, that they've actually got a specific list of teams. They even have the guest teams. So I watched I like to watch ESPN FC. I mentioned it a few times on this. And a bunch of grumpy old guys arguing and fighting, which is fun.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It's so, like listening to our podcast.
So they're talking about this league. So here's the first thing. Okay, I've got so many negatives. But why we should
one thing
this.
We should probably clarify is there's supposed to be 11 permanent teams that cannot be relegated, which I love the sound of. It's
of
like
which,
a little bit of MLS
of
there.
Which Arsenal is one,
of course,
and Spurs is not because
we are European royalty.
Well, we got conversation
and then
on
nine,
that.
There's nine guest teams of which Spurs were not invited.
Well, actually, there wasn't nine. I think it was five.
No,
according to ESPN FC, they only listed
there's
like five.
So, well, that's your fault, Dan, for going to ESPN FC.
Well, I also
went to
the
Guardian. If you went
to
the Guardian with the rest of us Euro snobs, you would know. It's supposed to be a 20 team league with 11 permanent members. Five of the 11 are from the EPL, and then there's supposed to be nine.
So welcome to MLS.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, if you can't get relegated.
Well, and there's supposed to be nine guest teams. And then of those nine guest teams, not a single one was Spurs.
Yeah. So I could care less about the inaugural. I mean, I guess I could care about it if it was like a more fair layout. I guess I would care if Spurs were in there or not. But
Marseille,
that is a lower point priority than the fact that there are 11 teams that cannot be. So here's the thing. This thing.
You think our Spurs should be in the 11?
No, I don't think there should be an 11.
Oh well, yeah.
I think if there are an 11, I think that Spurs have a good case to get in there. So we'll get to that. Let me say something else before we get into the whole Spurs thing, because this is actually beyond Spurs. First off, the biggest thing, you should be upset about this too. And here's why. This would ultimately supersede the Premier League. The biggest teams from the Premier League would be in this, and this would be a league of sorts.
I think the big two would be Spurs and Everton in the EPL. Arsenal would probably be in 11th.
Hear me out, though. We would probably have to stop this podcast because there would be no crossing the Thames because we'd be in different leagues.
Well, we'd have a Super League component and we'd have an EPL component.
That's stupid. Secondly, by doing this Super League.
You should have said that. Now they're going to actually do the Super League, so they'll get us to shut up.
Yeah, but they don't know we exist yet. If they did, they might.
Yeah, maybe.
Secondly, you've got the fact that by doing this, so this is a non-Spurs, non-Arsenal, this is just a general thing. By doing this, you are going to severely hurt, if not kill, multiple leagues around the globe. For example, if the top teams from Spain, i.e. Barca, Madrid, maybe Atleti, go to this league, like only the people in Spain who follow the other teams are going to even care about the Spanish league, and they're going to lose so much money globally. It's not even funny. Same with the EPL. You take five of the top six teams. Why is Spurs the only team that doesn't make it? I don't know.
Because they can't have six in there. I mean, five whatever. Is already a little obscene as it is.
Whatever that reason is. But if you take five of the top six from England, globally the appeal drops. I mean, you can find fans of the top six teams across the United States easily. And soccer's not even that big a thing here compared to other sports.
It doesn't work to the EPL's advantage. It doesn't work to any of the league. That's also a reason why I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, so now if this is with permanent members, I think if there was a promotion relegation system within it and there was no such thing as 100% safe, you know, we're the top 11, we're the snobby, the founding fathers of... Yeah, if there was no such thing as that, then I think it would hurt revenue, and I do still think it's probably a negative. But it's also, they're talking about it not being FIFA sanctioned. It would be its own thing.
And not UEFA
sanctioned. Sans FIFA sanctioned.
Again, it's their thumb and their nose up at UEFA for the Champions League. So, and again, that's the other thing. I think they think that they can probably have their cake and eat it too and say, look, we're not going to participate in the Champions League. We're just going to form our own Super League. And then UEFA would still try to do the Champions League, and no one would watch that. And everyone would still watch the league games and the Super League. And then UEFA would run out of money.
I don't think the league games... See, I don't think they're presenting this as a... I mean, maybe their intent is to replace the Champions League.
There's no...
But I think this is more of a league replacement than a Champions League replacement.
I didn't read anything that said that. And what I did read was that it seemed like they were trying to turn the screws on UEFA. And if you think about it, it's kind of like in the NBA or in the NFL, you have like these like contract negotiations and sometimes you have a lockout where it's like UEFA only has power because these teams give them power. And because maybe European governments would get involved and say there should be some sort of governing body. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, in a true capitalist free market system, if these guys want to band together and just form their own super league, there's nothing that can stop them from doing it.
Well, maybe contracts, but yeah, you're right. But here, okay, so.
But what contracts?
So I've got all these points. Well, you don't know. Like, we don't know what contracts they may have signed with their individual leagues. But yes, you're right. Minus anything that we don't know of. What's to stop
them? I think
it's
really unlikely, if ever, that they would leave the leagues because they need to have somebody to beat up on.
Well, so let's move forward here because I've got.
The other 19 teams can't be smashing Arsenal every week.
I've got a lot of points here. So. Okay, so let's look at the entrants, right?
It's not all about you, Dan.
So you've got Manchester United as a potential entrant. They're not that great. Last year they got second.
It's not about.
But they spent like 3 or 4 years not that great, and this year they're not that great.
It's about being European royalty, Dan.
Okay, but hear me out. We're not done. Manchester City is a new big team. They were they were, I think, just recently promoted when I first got into football. Mm-hmm. So they're about as new as my fandom, and they haven't been that successful until the past, like, 5 or 6 years now. I remember the first trophy they won, and I remember the seasons before where they were spending money left and right to try to get it. So they're not – so we're not looking – we got Manchester United, who may be there because they're a big team that's been around for forever.
I think this has nothing to do with who's good. I think it has everything to do with money.
Well, this is my point. So this is what's happening is this is the rich get richer and all the other teams suffer. This is kind of a – we're going to pull out
– but based on our typical political leanings, Dan, aren't you like the capitalist pig and I'm the socialist like commie?
No, and I'm not arguing that they shouldn't have a right to do this. I'm just arguing that this is a horrible thing for football in general.
This is what happens when capitalism runs amok with no checks and balances. They're kicking against the UEFA checks and balances.
Well, they want to create their own checks and balances. This is like America breaking off from Britain. Say,
no, we are answerable only to ourselves.
No taxation without representation, TJ.
That's right. Don't tread on me. Throw all the tea in the harbor. Me hearties.
Anyhow, so
don't
I've
touch
got,
that rum.
I've got all of these. Like, I've got so many more. Like, you and I could probably, like I said, I could literally do a couple hour podcast just on this.
I think that means we're out of time on this particular topic.
We probably should be. But I just want to say this.
Dan's going to talk about it some more.
I just want to say this. I actually am not opposed to the idea of a European Super League. I just think it needs to be built out differently. And I do think there needs to be promotion and relegation. And I do think it should not replace the Champions League or the Europa League. But instead, I think it should be a top tier for promotion relegation from all leagues in Europe. So in other words, if there's an Italian team in there, Juventus, it's because they won the Italian league and gained promotion to the Super League. But that said, there's a lot more nuance and we could go on a lot longer on this. Good evening. So let me tell you what I'm thinking. Yeah. Well, let's go on.
The point that I would like to make is I don't think it's going anywhere. It's like one of those things they do for clicks. It's never going to happen.
Good evening. Why don't you move on to the next topic for me? Because I won't.
The European governments, they're never going to allow this. Well, it's different over there than it is over here. They'll step in and say, no, you're not allowed to do that.
That may be. I can't speak to that. I just know that from what I can see in its current inception,
there are a bunch of communist Europeans, Dan.
It's a really stupid idea.
Never going to happen.
Also, as a Spurs fan, I feel mildly left out because we're better.
Spurs got super snubbed.
We are better That's my than United.
My headline I wrote was we are, Spurs got super snubbed.
We've
from
been
super
over the last 5 years. We've been better than Not Arsenal even as a in guest. General.
See, I think that's what it is. Like, Arsenal fans don't care about the London Derby.
I can understand not as a guest because they've already got 5 English teams. It's just all of them can't be relegated. So that's stupid, you know?
Well, the shocking is that Marseille get in over you guys. How does that happen? Marseille over Monaco?
Well, I think it's a popularity contest of some sort.
How is Marseille more popular than Monaco? Well, and that actually kind of breaks the money chain, too. Like, Monaco's loaded.
Well, Marseille has some big investors in right now that are trying to build them up.
That's true. I heard that.
So maybe it's less about the teams and more about friends behind doors handshaking and spending money left and right from
oil. It's a bunch of Saudis.
Could be.
It's a bunch of rich oil money that's doing all
Instead of the European Super League, they should call it the Rich Saudi League. Good evening.
Good evening.
Continue on.
Anyway, if you don't know the good evening, I'm just going to kind of do a quick one on this since we're already like probably miles behind on our schedule.
Yeah, about
Unai Emery,
24
in every
minutes.
Single interview he does, they'll ask him a question. They're like, so, what did you think of Kolasinac's first EPL game for you? And he kind of pauses and looks at the guy kind of sheepishly and goes, good evening.
but he doesn't even stop. It's not like, good evening, how are you? It's, good evening. I think he did very well. It's like part of his sentence. It's
crazy. Like when he was in his English class. It's like whenever you take Spanish and they're like, Buenos dias, buenas noches.
I could probably get this for people to listen to. Let's see. I gotta find. Here it is. I'll play this really quick so that if they're not aware, they can hear. So this is from the game today, right? November 3rd. Yeah, this is from the game today.
Well, I read he's done it like almost every single interview.
They must be delighted with that performance and delighted to get a point.
Good evening. we wanted to win, but
we wanted to win.
He like doesn't. I mean, he stops only because he's trying to get his thoughts together, but he makes noise. Good evening.
The difference we is wanted like to win. Buenas noches. ¿Dónde está el baño en la biblioteca? It's like he only knows like five phrases. Yeah, somehow Arsenal are doing a million times better this year than last year.
It's great. At least he's friendly. He could be like,
he's a really nice
screw
guy.
You.
And honestly, he's got greasy hair and messed up teeth, and like his eyes are out of alignment, like he got hit in the face with a shovel.
That's why Ozil's playing
he's
better.
Like he's somehow made Arsenal a better team, so I love him for it.
Ozil digs the goofy eyeball look, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, why he's playing. If we're gonna make fun of people, Wenger looked like Skeletor or some sort of like Sith Lord.
He looked like a Sith Lord.
With a puffy coat.
Totally looked like a Sith Lord with a puffy coat.
I think we should skip the Kevin De Bruyne thing because we hate Sith.
He just basically hurt himself again. He's out again. That's the extent of it. So
that's my, yeah.
Kind of sad, but good for the rest of us.
I think it's great.
So Ali, we skipped over this one. Ali signed a new 6-year deal. So the biggest question is what's the bad news that's coming down the pipe? Like, did they decide to just blow the stadium up and call it a day? Or, like, because with
Tottenham... Well, how much are they paying them? Did they say how much they're paying them?
I didn't even look for that, probably.
I imagine I've never even seen a 6-year deal. I imagine Dele Alli being like, wait, what? I thought it was a 2-year extension.
I thought it said 6 months.
6 years, and Daniel Levy's over there with a smirk on his face. Yeah, Dele, here's your hard hat. We should get out there and start digging ditches at the stadium. We're not done yet.
News that big with Tottenham. For example, when Harry Kane just recently signed his extension, we then learned that the stadium was going to be delayed. News, big news like that for Tottenham is almost always followed with something that it's like everybody's like,
I think
oh,
you
man.
Guys should, you know, you guys need good news since most things are pretty Spursy. I'd just take it. I'd take it and be happy about it. Yeah. On a related note, Ramsey apparently is now going to leave for free. We're not even going to try and sell him in January. He's like free to like just go. Just leave.
You mean now? Like he doesn't have to wait till his contract runs out?
I didn't read that, but I did read that Okay. Basically they were not going to do anything. They weren't going to try and stop him from.
What is the fall from grace here? Like I realize that there's a managerial change and sometimes there's, but
the
even
only,
then they should try to capitalize on his last few months.
Well,
of
the
contract.
Thing is, it's only been like what, 6 weeks since the start of the season or so, mm-hmm. Maybe more than that. We're 12 episodes in. Yeah, it's probably been like 2.5 months, but. Like, they could have probably got 50 or 60 million for him if they just sold him in the summer. Like, come on. Like, what a waste of money. But the only thing I can think is, with wages being the way that they are, he was probably offered, like, 175 or 200, which is substantial coinage, right? That probably puts him, like, second or third in the wage list. Hmm. And if Emery decides there's really only room for him or Ozil, and they're like, Ozil's better... Or he doesn't quite fit how we want to play now. I don't want to try and shoot. And that's kind of been shoehorning players in has been our problem, right? So whether it was Jack Wilshere or Ramsey or Theo Walcott, these guys that we just love the idea of having them. And if they could ever just click, we'd be the best team in the world. And the reality is, if it doesn't
click.
Fit, just get rid of them.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if Emery's thinking.
Well, I mean, based on your guys' current run of form, too, you don't.
Why we've been doing better.
So not to put the Sounders on the same level as Arsenal, because they're a lot better than Arsenal. But they did the same thing. So Dempsey finally retired, and it was a few weeks before he retired, the Sounders started clicking. And then, like I said on the last episode, we ended up having the last half of the season is the single best last half of season that's – or the single best half of season period that's ever happened in MLS.
So he was the problem.
Yeah, and he's highly talented. He was older. But I think just with the system and the way the team plays, he was kind of the sore thumb regardless of talent. And when he finally decided to retire, it was kind of like, okay, now it's Nico Ladero's team. We don't have to cater to
Dempsey. I think there's something to that. You know, I think Ramsey's still valuable. I mean, he's a great super sub. But I think he's too good to be a super sub. No, I'm just a little frustrated from a business standpoint that you can't try and segue whatever time he has left on his deal into a Mkhitaryan type of scenario. But, you know, the other thing that kind of makes me hope is they're just kind of walking away from him. Like, what if they already have a deal that they just legally can't announce for some other big-name star who's going to get paid $200,000 a year. I mean, there's a lot of different guys that are out of contract next year. You know, what if we have already kind of got like a nothing in writing, but maybe an understanding with someone else who wants to come to Arsenal, and it was either Ramsey or that guy,
And Emery's like, as much as I like Ramsey, he just doesn't fit as well as this other guy will. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather take the risk, you know. So that kind of gives me hope that maybe we're gonna replace him with someone, and maybe not even the same type of player, like maybe a winger or a defender, you know, someone who would really help the team round out a little more. So anyway, probably spend too much time on Ramsey.
So you brought up something that didn't make our notes. So maybe we save this for another podcast, but I'll bring it up here and let you decide. So as you mentioned, this is our 12th episode for season two.
It is.
We did 12 episodes because we started midway into the season for season one, which was, you know, this one being the 2018-2019 season, last season being 2017-2018, soccer seasons. So we are now officially, we've recorded as many episodes for season two as we did for season one. So we're at some sort of milestone of sorts. I don't know how you work that out. But I had mentioned to you an idea that I had we should do on this podcast.
And I laughed you to scorn without actually laughing in your face.
That's also kind of a 50-50 split. For some reason, in my mind, the soccer team had 12 people on the field. You had to correct me, which was good, because I was often
Brad, left-field. I just want you to recognize that I knew that there's only 11 on the field, not 12.
Technically, I knew that too, but my brain was in a different place. That said,
your kids were screaming at you and you were getting...
I thought it would be fun for you and I to come up with, and maybe we do this next time, maybe we do this now. We might have to cut out a story or two if we do it now, but it would be fun for us to come up with our top 11, like our starting team, and that starting team could have no more than six players from either Spurs or Arsenal, and it can only be Spurs and Arsenal players. So in other words, I may pick six Spurs players, but then the rest of the team has to be Arsenal players.
So my other thought with this is, like, what if we picked, like, a match day squad, and you can have no more than nine of either Spurs or Arsenal, so you get an 18-man match day squad, and then that way you could decide, like, I picked this guy from Spurs for the bench, and maybe he's a starter for Spurs, but I like the idea of him coming off the bench more than start. I mean, that
I'm okay with that. I think for me it was more like on the field at the same time, because if you did 9-9, you could have a predominantly Spurs team and then a bunch of Arsenal players sitting on the bench. If, you know, if I were picking, that's probably what I'd do.
Maybe it's just a bad idea, Dan.
No, I think it'd be a fun idea, and it'd be a challenge because, for example...
How do you make the formation work?
Well, no, you pick a formation. 4-4-3. You pick a formation, and you do your best to put people... Like, for example, Aubameyang can play a striker. He can also play as a winger. Yeah. So, like, let's say we do 4-3-3, right? Or we do 4-4-2 or something.
4-4-3.
Stop making fun of me. Or I had my math off.
Two goalies, 4-4-2.
But here's the fun in this. So for me,
I'd still pick Cech and Leno together.
For me, I would pick. I was actually going to use goalkeeper. I'd pick Lloris over Leno.
In the tabloids, they'd be known as Cech-eno.
Cech-eno?
Yeah.
I would pick Lloris over Leno. However, if I was putting together a team and I could only have six Spurs players, I might actually drop Lloris, put Leno in, so I can put a Spurs player in another position. So it's not necessarily about who we think's best in the position.
This sounds like one of those dorky FIFA 19 games that they make you play. Like, the, you end up spending $100 and get, like, Foyth out of it. This is penalty giveaway, Foyth.
Foyth, oh gosh. It was so bad today. We'll get to that.
This is a very special card. Anyhow, very rare.
Let's try penalty to remember. Let's not do any more about it here because we can move on to some other stuff. But let's try to remember for next week to do that because I think we could have fun. And then the goal is to justify. Like, for example, let's say you put an Aubameyang over Harry Kane. I'd be like, why would you do that? Well, you may think he's better or you may think, well, maybe he's worse, but.
I wouldn't. I'd probably do like 4-4-3. So we could have 12 on 12. And I put
Lacazette,
Aubameyang on the left and Harry Kane up front.
Yeah. But see, it'd be fun to explain because it's not about putting who you think the best in every position is. It's about getting the best combination with a max of six from.
So you could have like a totally wacky formation.
Well, I mean,
it's going to be wacky with 12 people in the field regardless.
We can't have all strikers and like attacking midfielders out there. And then like, you know. Kieran Trippier in goal.
3-4-5.
What?
It's a back three.
0-5-5. Who needs defenders?
0-6-6. No goalkeeper. Would you say, Dan, that we're getting a little rummy?
A little spiced rummy. Oy. Okay, so let's move on. That would be fun. We should do that for next
this
week.
This is a more fun segment. So apparently, Nicholas Bendt.
Thank you. You shoot my idea in the foot.
Dan's ideas are dumb. My ideas are the best. Oy. Nicholas Bendt is going to jail. So Lord Bendt, the former Arsenal striker,
apparently attacked his taxi driver when he was coming home late from the pub. Is that what they call
it? I heard the story. He was defending the honor of his woman or something that he was with.
I didn't read the story. I just read that he's getting 60 days in jail, which is kind of shocking because, like, the Ronaldos of the world will steal $20 million from the Spanish government, and he'll be like, oh, I'll pay a fine.
That whole stealing from the Spanish government thing is also not as cut and dry as you make
it. Well, I think the Spanish government, they just like to shake down guys and get as much money as they can. But anyway, we thought, what if we came up with some jailhouse nicknames for Lord Bintner? So I came up with two, and Dan came up with one. And they're all three pretty terrible. So I'll go first. Nicky getting Bintner. Do you want to go next?
I'm not quite even sure
what that means. We should sandwich yours between mine.
Okay, I got next. Don't drop the soap and Bintner over.
And then the last one, which is the worst of the lot, is Bintner got nicked.
I'm not sure.
Nicked is like a British colloquialism for getting arrested.
Oh, see,
and his name is Nicholas Bintner. We were having this
discussion before the podcast.
If I have to explain it, it's probably not a very good joke.
Well, that's kind of my thought. And any of our American listeners would have had no idea why that was even remotely funny, but I get
you. Brad probably gets it.
Well, he's un American.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm afraid to even say what ethnicity is because he like railed on me when I made an assumption earlier. But
and someone's coming into my office.
Nice.
Isn't it too late at night for people?
Yeah, they're open next door, right? Or I just guess. Closing? Okay, those were good. Let's move on. So last week we didn't talk about.
I don't want anybody to hear us doing this. I don't want.
You gonna shut the door? All right, I'll just keep going, and you can just walk around and do things. So last week we talked about a bunch of stuff. You're saying the one we missed, which we did miss. We didn't talk about it, but we definitely knew all about it. We just didn't get to it. Was the El Clasico, which was wonderful because
Real got spanked 5-1.
Well, I'm not really a Barca fan either. I like them about the same, so it's not wonderful in that regard. It's just a fun storyline.
Well, as feeder teams for both of these teams, my overlord beat your overlord.
That's true,
right? And my overlord beat Brandon's team.
Yeah, so Brandon, who, if you guys haven't heard, he was a guest on last season on one of the episodes and talked about Madrid a lot.
I'm pretty sure it's like in the top five of his greatest experiences ever, and he has four kids, so sorry, Peter.
No, it's sorry, Brittany.
No, I'm not saying I'm not going there because she'd probably there. Like
I'm scared of Brittany. And
shoot me.
If she really wanted to be mad, she could. Anyhow, interesting storyline though. No Messi, no Ronaldo, which we discussed the podcast before. Barca didn't seem to care. Madrid, they're not having technically speaking, none of the top La Liga teams are having an amazing year.
I mean, they're pretty crappy. There's a lot of Spursy. I mean, they just Spursied it up, right? Between Bale and Modric.
Yeah, the world player of the year.
Any wonder. Anyone.
Or whatever.
No one pays attention to
whatever,
the FIFA awards.
Whatever stupid it's award
the
you want.
Ballon d'Or. That's the only one anyone cares about.
The Ballon d'Or? That's like some really stupid, like, American, like.
That's the rum speaking. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my question was, how do you fix Real? I have 4 points. To fixing Real. But really? I thought I'd let you go first since
I have no points written down, so nice let me just come up with something very amazing off the top of my head.
Improv.
Honestly, I don't think they're that horrible player-wise. They're not that horrible of a team. I want to say it's probably down to coaching. I mean, they got rid of Lopetegui, and now they've got, what's his name?
I didn't even know.
Who's like the youth coach? You didn't know they fired him?
Oh, Solari.
Solari. Yeah. He's
who's pretty interim much coaching like, it. He would walk around and carry Zidane's boots for him when they played. So I wonder how well that'll work.
Well,
to be fair, Arteta probably carried Pep's boots around. So,
I mean, that doesn't mean a whole lot. The bigger thing is Lopetegui was fired after this. So the future results are what matters. Now Arsenal. I'm looking at your shirt. You're wearing an Arsenal jersey right now.
I am.
Madrid did end up winning their first game under Solari, and I don't know, did they play today?
Who did they play, Getafe? I mean,
well, it wasn't.
Half the La Liga team is like
yeah, but they were
Sunday
losing
League.
To some of the La Liga teams. Like, that's the thing, it's a small sample size.
There's no guarantee that Barca Real would dominate the Super League. Those guys would finally start getting spanked every week. La Liga would be happy to see the back of them.
I don't know. How
all of a sudden, La Liga would be like a competitive league.
What teams? I mean, Juventus maybe, City maybe. Liverpool, maybe. What other teams would...
The difference is they'd have to play really good teams every single week. There'd be no taking it off and getting a hat-trick against Getafe. You'd be getting beat every single week.
They'd have to fight harder, and then they'd be more tired. I mean, beat in the
sense that you're getting kicked.
Oh, beat, that kind of
like
beat.
You're getting, like, physically beat up.
I thought you meant, like, they lose really the try. Game every week. I guarantee
you, the Arsenal-Liverpool guys are exhausted right now. Like, you can even see it on the game.
Man, Torreira?
Like, they were so tired by, like, the 80th minute. Because it was just nonstop
let's save that for the right section. I want to hear your four-point plan to reviving Madrid.
My four-point plan for reviving Madrid. Are you ready, Brandon? Do you have pen and pencil down? Okay, this is it. Beg Ronaldo to come back. Beg Zidane to come back. Beg Poch to join. I don't know why both of them do, but they do.
Zidane and Poch, huh?
Then send Bale and Perez to Spurs.
I'd take Bale. Who's Perez?
Florentino Perez, the president.
Oh, the president. Oh. Yeah.
Him and Daniel Levy work it out.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I'm pretty sure Levy would win. Levy's kind of like, I don't know, man.
Perez has a long
What's the holding group for Spurs? I forget what they're called.
Spursy LLC?
No. Anyhow, Levy is, he's one of the owners of the holding group. But he's basically like the golden boy. Like, they're not going to replace him.
What about Harry Kane?
Well, player-wise, yeah.
I would say that Daniel Levy is the bally boy. Harry Kane is the golden boy. Anyway, moving on. Speaking of soccer jerseys, I'm wearing my Arsenal 02 jersey from, 2002. But Dan wants to give away one of his jerseys to all of you on the air. I told him I thought that was a bad idea.
Maybe.
But I'll let Dan explain it to you.
It's interesting to, like, throw this out there and not actually throw it out in the form of a contest yet. But, you know, TJ and I have been doing this just kind of for fun. We've run some advertisements. It's how Brad found us. But we haven't really been spending money. I think
Brad found us because we mispronounced Thames.
Yeah, but he found us through an advertisement. That's how he got on. He was recommending us to somebody, and then he listened, and then he's like, never mind.
Shame on Brad for recommending something not even listening to.
But, yeah.
Which we've talked about having Brad and Jamie on a podcast. We just got to get that figured out.
We will in the near future, and then you guys can all hear our celebrity.
Australia's like 2 days in the future because of how the Earth rotates. So. 2 days. Or maybe it's three.
Australia is so really 2022 hard. Like, we tried to join right
on Sunday, but then he's not there because it's like Wednesday his time. So I don't know.
But I have, when I first became a Spurs fan, and this was something I kind of wanted to talk about in the beginning and never did. So maybe I'll kind of wrap this together. Nah, whatever. When I first became a Spurs fan, Dempsey was not on the team yet. So it was pretty fun to get Clint Dempsey as a Spurs player for a year. Who did you have? Well, Bale.
Suakato?
Yeah, we had a Suakato. We had Bale.
Berbatov.
We had Modric. We had Van der Vaart.
Oh, Van der Vaart. That's right.
Devans
Van Persie.
Crouch.
You had Peter Crouch?
Yeah, I'm kind of losing track, but when I was
basically,
it was these guys kind of all, like within a couple of years.
You were like London Stoke.
Well, Stoke... So we sent our good players to Madrid and our bad players to Stoke. That's what, or our past their prime players, I should say. But anyhow, so I decided, because I was a fan. Now, I was already a fan of the Sounders, and I had already picked, actually a long time ago when I was a kid, I'd picked Bayern as my favorite team in Germany. I finally had to come to a conclusion, and I ended up picking Spurs as my team in England. So I wanted to kind of go all in. So I went online to find a autographed jersey. And lo and behold, I found an autographed jersey. It's certified by a place in Monaco, which I'm not familiar, but I have this I was looking at it today. I have the certificate that certifies that it's a legit jersey that somebody probably just, fabricated.
Word. I can type you up the certificate if you want, Dan.
No, but that said, it's, I mean, and
certified from Camino Island? Wow, that sounds exotic.
Camino Island, Monaco.
Wow.
But anyhow, it's a Bale jersey. Now, it's like a youth extra small. It never, ever remotely... It wasn't bought to fit me. It was bought because of the signatures, right? It's this teeny jersey. It's hanging in my closet. And I'm a big guy. I wear extra large clothing. And sometimes double X. I wish
you had tried it on. You totally should have tried it on and have been like... What do you call it? Like a midriff? Like your belly button?
I wouldn't have been able to get my head through the opening. It's like this big.
I imagine Dan wearing it And it's like his arms are turning purple. In a little coat. And he's showing off his like belly button piercing.
English beef, like on the
minute like voices. Nipping out like it's 32 degrees outside.
Anyhow, that said, it has a Bale signature on the back where it has his name and number. And then the front is signed by the whole rest of the team. It had Adebayor, Clint Dempsey. Like, you know, these guys that are no longer on Spurs. So Harry Kane's not on there, which I'm sad to find out, because he actually didn't break into the team until the following year.
Because he was like 12
at the time? No, he was on the team. His breakout year, this was a couple years into it. I didn't buy this right at the beginning. But I kind of bought this to kind of like go all in.
So wait a second. You want to give away...
Like I said in the beginning, Dempsey wasn't even there.
From somebody else. So it's a hand-me-down.
Well, I bought it online. But yeah, whatever. That said, I think it's pretty cool.
Someone else is
starting. And I think a Spurs fan would probably enjoy it because it's signed by all these like kind of classic players, right? I didn't look, but I'm betting Modric is on there. I'd have to look.
Most Spurs fans are just kind of like, oh, that looks like a good team. I'll support them. They're not really like long-term fans. There's not that many long-term Spurs fans.
Well, no, that's not true.
Because your history is like 3
years. We have almost 50% listenership from England. It's like 40%, and then we have like 45% from the States. We
also have like 50 listeners to you.
Subscribers. We have a lot more listeners than that.
Oh, I didn't know there was
depending on the episodes. But anyhow, so long story short, I had talked to TJ about like trying to do a giveaway to try to gain more listeners, kind of spread our podcast around. And I thought, well, I already have this, and you know, it only cost me like $150 back in the day. Now it's, you know, it's just kind of hanging in my closet. I probably should have put it in one of those, like, shirt frames, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't.
So if you want to do that and he gives it away, you'll have to buy your own stupid frame.
That may be true. But that said, I thought it might be a good idea. And TJ's like, I had to slap the table on. That was on purpose.
I kind of slapped it, too.
Yeah. He's like, you can't do that because if I ever just want to stop doing this podcast, I feel like I'm stuck because you gave away something valuable.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Dan does most of the work for this, so I already feel kind of guilty about it. I mean, not a lot, obviously, but a little bit.
You should.
And so, like, if he starts giving away his clothes, too, it's like, I'm going to feel a lot worse.
Today, I'm giving away a cardigan worn by me.
If any of you think that you're going to get your grubby little hands on my 2002 Arsenal jersey, you got another thing coming. No one's getting this one.
But nobody's even signed that. You can go buy one of those for $50. I already lost
the yellow Sega one, okay? I don't want to talk about it.
You lost it?
I had the yellow Sega one.
Yeah, but...
I don't know what happened.
Didn't you just get that when you were in...
I got this when I was, like, I don't know, 16 years old.
It still fits you. Wow.
Well, because back in those days, Dan, the soccer jerseys were, like, 3 times too big.
Now it looks like an official Arsenal jersey. I can see your nipples and everything.
Have you lost weight, TJ? I'm like, no, I'm just wearing a late 90s, early 2000s soccer jersey. You can fit a small family of four in here.
I had a point and I've totally lost it.
Especially like the Ian Wright days, like the mid 90s. Like his sleeves are flapping around. He looks like he's going to like take off somewhere.
Anyhow, so that conversation happened. Oh, by the way, I'll be auctioning off my underwear next week, and we'll leave it at that. So.
Great. We're going to have a bunch of dirty old men listening to our podcast.
All right, so last thing...
This is supposed to be a family podcast, and now it's turned into some...
Last thing before podcast. We get into the games, we're already heading towards 50 minutes again. We can talk longer and longer every time.
I thought we were doing pretty good.
We're doing okay. We've talked about a lot.
I forgot to set a timer.
So I've got my timer running, but best defender in the EPL... Who do you think?
Do we need to talk about that when we're running out of time?
Let's just pick one.
So the reason why I thought of this is because watching the Arsenal game, Virgil van Dijk, again, it's kind of like a Peter Crouch thing. It's like
the biggest man out there.
He's just huge. He looks Mkhitaryan. Except look unlike like
Peter Crouch, he's like wide. Massive.
Yeah, he's huge.
Peter Crouch was like a tall beanpole, you know?
And I guess I look at it, and I think I texted this to you too. I thought, you know, Liverpool paid $75 million for him. Like, that's a steal, man.
Yeah, probably.
Like, he's probably worth, like, fair market value, he's probably worth $150. Like, why didn't Arsenal buy him?
I think, and now we're talking EPL, but I think he's up there on the
global stage. That's a couple of Xhakas.
A couple of Xhakas.
I mean, come on. Xhaka's
been good lately.
That's a Xhaka and a Mustafi. Just think, if we'd spent that money on Virgil van Dijk, just like when Guendouzi and Touré do their thing, and van Dijk's at the back... We could play 5 1-5-6 if we wanted. I think, with 12 men on the field.
I think we all need to measure our salaries in terms of football players. Like, TJ, what do you make annually? Oh, I make a hundredth of Xhaka.
I make a Lee Asbury playing for Sunday League. So nothing, basically.
I make 100th of a Harry Kane. 1,000th. I make way less. 1,000,000th of a Harry Kane. Oy. Okay. Yeah, I think Van Dijk's up there. I
think he's the best defender.
I have a homer. I have a homer answer, but I think Jan Vertonghen is
one of the best. Come on, Vertonghen's just a taller, healthier Vermaelen.
Vertonghen's awesome. He's been injured. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't call him necessarily healthier. He's been injured. Taller,
healthier Vermaelen.
But when he's out there, he is our defense. I think he's better than Alderweireld. I think Alderweireld looks good because of Vertonghen, and I think Sanchez is the same. But
I made a little short list of best defenders in the EPL.
Oh, did you?
Van Dijk's on here. I threw in Mustafi for kicks and giggles.
That's a lot of kicks and giggles.
He got you to chuckle. Vertonghen, Alderweireld, which I figured you'd like. Azpilicueta, who actually might be second to Virgil van Dijk in my book.
But isn't he... Well, I mean, he's a defender, but he's a winger. I guess I'm thinking more center backs in my mind.
Well, he plays center back too. There was a season where he played center back and he was like statistically the best defender in the league.
Really?
He's just also a really good wing back and fullback. He's just like...
I thought you liked Marcus Alonso.
What's that?
I thought you liked Marcus Alonso more than
Azpilicueta. I also have him on this list. Oh.
So Chelsea basically has good... Well, they do have a decent defense.
Well, no, I just have the two of them.
They have to have better defenders to make up for David Luiz's shortcomings in the back.
That's exactly right. He's not on the list. Harry Maguire. And then I also made a special note. You'll notice there are no City defenders because I think their defense is terrible.
Well, I mean, they pretty much play attackers all over.
I don't even know what game it was. I was watching...
Was it Otamendi and...
Stones.
Rudiger?
John Stones.
No, Rudiger is Chelsea.
Tell you what. Yeah. Let me just put it out there. John Stones is a poor man's Rob Holding, okay? They paid like 25 times what we paid for Rob Holding, and Rob Holding was a beast out there today.
True. Although Stones is pretty good on my ultimate team, my FIFA ultimate team.
Do you have his card next to the penalty prone Foyth?
I have him and Matip. I have one of the special Matip cards.
Did you see Matip coming on?
Yeah, I got your text. I was
like,
he's
kind of like, okay, so Matip is like coming on to shore up the Liverpool defense.
We should wait till we get to this game and then you.
Well, I already started it, so I'm not going to stop now. It's kind of like throwing up. You just can't stop.
Go fast, though. We need to move.
So Matip is like, he's warming up to come on or whatever, and he's like walking over to the fourth official, and he's kind of leaning over, I guess, to like tuck in his shirt. But the way that the camera angle is, it looks like he's just kind of like leaning over, kind of looking like, so what's all this then? Like. What's all this ruckus? Like an old man. I guess it was only funny to me. Move on, Dan.
Yeah, it was funny to me just because I saw it being funny to you, and so I got...
I'm just saying, if you type Liverpool into your little iMessage thing, it's probably one of their memes.
Could be. So let's move in. So the cup games happened. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but...
we never do.
Spurs had a really good showing against West Ham. Foyth, I think, got man of the match, which after today's game is slightly crazy, but...
Win some, lose some, I guess.
Foyth did really well, and he's young still. I think he's 20.
Was he going up against Chicharito?
Yeah, he went up against... Yeah, Chicharito, I think, led the line.
So did he really have a great game?
Well, yes. I mean,
West Ham, now you're not feeling so
West Ham didn't look like... I mean, they didn't look like Fulham this year. I mean, they looked competent. That said... We beat them pretty soundly. Sissoko had a good game. That was crazy.
I have a new nickname for Sissoko. He's the Spursy Vieira.
Could be. He had a good... We'll get to this game,
too.
He's
tall and he's black.
He had a pretty decent game. Sissoko had a pretty decent game against Wolves for a while, too. And then Harry Winks came on and looked good. How come I feel like...
So who's your man of the match from this West Ham game?
I don't really know, to be honest.
Penalty prone Foyth?
I think Foyth had a really good game, yeah. I might say that.
So should we move on to the Blackpool game?
Sun had a brace. So Sun probably would have got man of the match by a normal voting system. I'm always hesitant to just give it to a guy because he scores goals because I think there's so much else to the game, obviously. But yeah, anyhow, I predicted 1-0 to Spurs.
Did you give away a penalty? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't have a hat trick of foul throws. Spurs said all sorts of fun things.
Did Serge get to play in that game?
No, I think he's injured. He hasn't played in a while.
In quotation marks, injured.
Yeah, Poch broke his legs. I had 1-0 to Spurs, so it was nice that we did a little better. And you predicted a 2-1 to Spurs. So. Yeah.
So we played Blackpool. We went down for a seaside getaway down at Blackpool and had some Black Rock taffy or whatever they call it, and rode the little Ferris wheel.
Are these all things in Black? I don't know Blackpool.
Blackpool's like a seaside town.
Okay.
Apparently people go there, and from the photos
I've seen... It's like a vacation spot?
From the photos I've seen, I've thought, I think I'll stay home. But, yeah, my prediction was 3-1 to Arsenal. Your prediction was 2-1 to Arsenal, and it was 2-1 to the Arsenal. So.
And it was some players I was unfamiliar with out there for Arsenal.
Emile Smith-Rowe was out there.
Yeah.
He says he wants to be Arsenal's Kevin De Bruyne, so... Time will tell.
Wanting to be and being capable of.
Well, I mean, I like to think of myself as like a cross between Ozil and Bergkamp for Arsenal, but
I mean, I'm practically Harry Kane. I'm just have a little bit less hair.
Well, he's getting there.
They call me Harry Kane.
He's getting further and further back.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. I saw the highlights. Noticed the players that I didn't watch the game either,
so I don't even have a man on the match. And no one cares about Blackpool.
They were
no one
cares about
the Carabao Cup. So maybe we should just move on.
You know what? As a Spurs fan, I want to win a trophy. I care about any tournament that we're in that we can still win a trophy.
Well, once Arsenal goes and joins the Super League, you guys probably will win the Carabao Cup. Because no one else will be there to play.
Oh, shut up. All right.
Be Spurs against Blackpool in the final, and you'll win.
You're trying to
go 1-0 in extra time.
You realize I've got rum in me, and I could be a lot meaner now that I've got a little bit of...
I'm so scared. You know what's funny? Is like, this is hilarious, and this might be the rum talking. Brandon sometimes like, you gotta like lay off Dan. He's gonna like hit you or something. And I'm like, Brandon, okay. I did not grow up having Dan pick on me my whole life like you. If Dan hit me, it'd be like the last thing he'd ever
do. I never picked on Brandon.
He just had like that. He had that like kind of like
that like beaten person.
Yeah, like that battered wife look to him.
I'd like to think I was not abusive growing up to people, but I'm actually a super nice guy. Like this. But I mean, this podcast, we should probably have more sparks, but I'm usually too nice to spark.
I know you well enough, and you're not that much bigger than me. I'd just nail you right in the middle of your back, and you'd be down on the floor. We'd have to drag you down the stairs to the chiropractor.
I have an Achilles back.
And Brandon's like looking at me like, I don't know, man. I think Dan could take you. And I'm like, come on, give me a break.
Okay, so yeah, that was exciting. Let's move on.
I don't know how we got into me beating Dan senseless, but somehow that got in there.
So domestic games recap.
Before you get on the slip.
Go for it. Talk about your wonderful game today.
So, yeah, Arsenal versus Liverpool, 1-1 in, so far, I think what is unanimously decided is the game of the season. It was just nonstop. Maybe. I mean, there was like four games packed into one. There was that much ground cover.
So one thing of note here, just slightly off topic, we're actually recording this on a Saturday evening. Now, normally we do, Sunday evenings.
It's coming
evenings,
a whole day early to you guys.
Two days.
You lucky dogs.
The last few podcasts have actually been done on Monday evenings, so... Which this is sometime in like the early morning over in England. But
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself tomorrow. Well, I know we're getting family photos taken.
Well, I got to watch. I'm going to have to watch the Sounders game on. It's going to be recorded because I got to go to my daughter's game.
Man, kids.
I might skip my daughter's game.
Dan didn't want to talk about how his kids were such a pain in the rear today. I'll talk about Sophie being a pain in the rear. When she's a pain in the rear, we just put her in her room and close the door. Except she has, like, put her little brain together and figured out, you know what? How do I get back at them? So we go back into her room 15 minutes later.
Just throwing everything everywhere?
She's in her crib or whatever. She can't get out. And I go and I pick her up and I'm not paying attention. I'm like, man, these are the weirdest feeling pants I've ever picked. What kind of pants are these? And I'm like, she doesn't have any pants on. She's naked as a jaybird. I mean, she has like a long shirt on or whatever. But it's bare butt cheeks in my palm.
So I found this on a dad website. But my daughter Maggie, she's got this thing, and Manette and I call it spontaneity.
Like, spontaneity.
We're like sitting there, and we look over, and Maggie's taking off all of her clothes. Like the other day in the grocery store, she just drops her pants. You know, it's like, what is going on with you, kid?
Anyway. She's gonna get arrested.
Well, she's three.
Anyway, I didn't finish the story. So I picked her up and I brought her in, and I'm changing her, putting a new diaper on her. And I'm like, what is that smell? And I sniff her foot, and it smells like pee.
So she took her pants off and then peed?
She peed in the bed.
Oh, that sucks.
So now what are we going to do?
She's potty trained, right? No. Is she?
No, she's still wearing diapers. Okay. I don't know what we're going to... She's figured out I can take off my diaper. When I do something they don't like, they punish me by putting me in the bed. And then I can get back at them by taking the diaper off and peeing.
You might be able to trick her with pull-ups, although she could pull them down, but you might be able to trick her for a couple weeks with them.
I think we're just going to start breaking out the paddle, or the wooden spoon, or the switch. I mean, she's two, but you got to learn sometime. The belt?
I don't condone child abuse. I just want to be clear. And I really don't think TJ does either. It's for shock effect. Okay, so let's move on to the games again.
Or is it?
Domestic games. Talk more about your... You kind of stopped to talk about beating your child. Sophie
peeing and me beating her with it. It was the other thing, too, is like you can't spank her at this point because it's like so much time had elapsed between when she did the act and
so
when
she I figured it out. She wouldn't know. Have
even known. So I was just like, oh, dang it.
No, she knows.
So she just had to sleep in her own pee. Just kidding.
Just like Arsenal did in their match against Liverpool.
No, so it was a great game, back and forth a lot. And my man of the match was Virgil van Dijk because he looked like a beast out there. And then I think all the Arsenal fans would be like, what, Virgil van Dijk? Because Lucas Torreira was so good. In fact, Torreira I told was you,
awesome.
There was he goes in with like, it almost looked like a two-footed challenge slide tackle. Takes the ball cleanly. And you could tell it rattled the Liverpool team. And then they get the ball back. And then he goes like he's going to slide tackle the same player again. And then at the last second, he stops. But the player is anticipating a slide tackle, so he like kind of like pulls back, like don't hit me, and then Torreira just like takes the ball and runs away.
Yeah, I mean, I texted you, and I know this would probably be unpopular with a lot of Spurs fans, but I'd trade Dyer for Torreira any day. I still am not a big fan of Dyer, and especially this year, like he seems to be proving me right.
I like Dyer. I wouldn't mind him in the Arsenal team, but there's no way I'd trade him for Lucas Torreira. I mean, Torreira is honestly like. He keeps going at this rate, and he's going to end up like Conte's level.
Torreira makes my 12-man starting team.
Well, I bet he does. I probably make your 12-man starting team.
Anyway. Yeah, that's a good man of the match. So
it was a great game. My prediction was that Arsenal would win 3-1 if they had their fullbacks, and that they would lose 3-1 if they didn't. And actually, we did. We had Bellerin and Kolasinac, and neither happened. We drew. So
yeah, I did a 3-1 to Liverpool, and. Honestly speaking, it should have been 2-1 to Liverpool because the Mane goal that got pulled back was a goal.
Yeah, but I've also heard some arguments that the Alisson run out and tackle of Mkhitaryan could have been a penalty because it was in the box. And Mkhitaryan nearly scores. He heads the ball and it misses by inches. Mm-hmm. But Alisson like just wipes him out. And yeah, so there's some argument that could be a penalty too. I don't know. I think it's... I just want to ignore the Mane thing, quite frankly. Because honestly,
Spurs,
it could have
Spurs
been
5-4. Had one of those ourselves too.
It could have been a 4-4 or 5-4. I mean, there were so many opportunities. Both keepers actually had some good moments, and Van Dijk was a rock. So
Spurs ended up beating Wolves 3-2. We should have had them 3 or 4-0, but apparently started falling apart predominantly because Foyth needs to.
Yeah, it looked like you guys were on your way to like a 5 or 6-0. Win just because how quickly you went from 0-0 to 3-0.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Wolves actually looked good the whole game. They did not look like they were getting beat 3-0 when we were ahead 3-0.
Yeah.
But, so they had, so we scored two. Lamella and then Lucas Moura both had good goals. Lamella's goal was pretty sweet, actually.
Lamella, the Argentinian Iwobi.
maybe. Or the new Messi. No. He got a great assist.
He's like a tall, clumsier Ozil.
He got a great assist from Sun, buried it. And then on Mora's goal, Sun actually pops it out to Trips, and Trips puts it across.
Trips. Which one was Trips?
So much easier.
Is that like an Trippier Austrian player?
Trippier or whatever.
Oh, Trippier? Kieran?
Trips.
The English player?
Anyhow, Trips puts in a good cross for Moura. So Sun was actually pretty integrally involved in both build-ups to the goals. And Moura puts in a good header. And goes into the half 2-0, but Wolves were kind of trying. They were beaten down, and Lloris kept us in the game. Lloris had a really, really good match. Mm. They scored two goals, but both were penalties, and you can hardly blame the keeper for penalty scores.
I mean, Gazzaniga probably keeps them out, though.
Maybe. Gazzaniga's... He'd just look at him and the ball would like fall in love.
Wink at the player and he'd be like, oh.
I feel kind of funny.
Can we talk after the game?
So then we go in and The third goal was a Harry Kane goal, which he has a good shot. It's saved very well by Patricio, and then he is able to kind of sneak it in the net on the rebound.
Well, Lacazette scored a really good goal in his game, too, okay?
No, he
it's
did.
Not
he
all
did.
About Harry Kane.
No, no. But so we get these goals. This is good. We're up 3-0, right? And then Foyth decides he doesn't like to stand. So the first time...
Wait, the man of the match from the West Ham game?
Yeah. Foyth was actually, like, the Spurs team, I'd say, generally was rated probably between 6.5 to 8.5, depending on the players. And then Foyth was like a 3.5. I don't think I've seen a game. And I mean, once again, I've only been watching soccer for 10-ish years. But I don't think I've seen a game where the same player has drawn two penalties, caused two penalties.
Yeah, I think.
I'm sure it's happened.
I think I've seen it, but I can't. None comes to mind.
But then the other thing that's sad is Foyth has played in cup games and so forth, but this was his Premier League debut. And to give away two penalties on your Premier League debut is a pretty sad.
It's kind of a Spursy debut right there.
Mm-hmm. You done with that?
I googled same player causes two penalties. Rule 404, misconduct penalties, USA Hockey Rulebook.
Okay, good to know. So, Ali was not even in the 18.
I should use a VPN router through Northern Ireland so I could actually see the stuff I want to see.
I can help you with that. Anyhow, Ali wasn't even risked. Poch wanted to bring him back a little more slowly, according to, what was it, London.soccer.londonfootball.london.
The website with all the pop-ups that makes it impossible to actually see anything.
I like was able to read it, and then a full screen pop-up happened and a bunch of other stuff, and I could never get it to come up again, and I was like, screw this, and close the site. But Eriksen came off the bench later on, but Poch is kind of gently bringing them back, which I think is the right thing to do. And I'd much rather win 3-2 than 5-0 and save those guys for a more important match like a North London derby or one of the bigger teams. So okay, so enough of that. That's the games. If you didn't watch them, you should go back.
Shame and on watch you. Them. Shame.
So this week, you actually have this as this week's Cup games. You didn't change it. It's this week's European games.
Champions League Cup, the Europa League Cup. Okay. They're cups, Dan.
For our notes, the Cup games are Carabao and...
As a Spurs fan, I recognize you guys don't know what they look like, but... They're these shiny cups with handles on the side.
You know what we do know what it looks like, though, is a golden boot. Been a while since an Arsenal fan seen one of those.
Van Persie?
Yeah, it's been a little while. Van Persie was your guys' star striker when I first got in, so that's close to 10 years ago. Eight,
I'm
nine.
I'm sure it was 2012, 6 years ago.
Whatever. Anyhow.
Shut up, TJ.
I don't want to hear your facts. So Spurs are playing at actually PSV is playing at Spurs at Wembley, and kind of a rematch of our stupid draw in the Champions League. That's November 6th, Wednesday.
Man, everybody's getting to play you guys at Wembley.
You know, Wembley used to be such a great place to end up to play at. Now it's
you know they're
like,
probably going to have like sucks. This poster at the new Spurs stadium, which like all the teams that got to play us at Wembley, but now it's gotten so long that they probably can't have that exhibit now.
Well, you remember the poster they did at the beginning of the year? There's only one place to watch the Champions League in North London because they were taking a stab at Chelsea and Arsenal. And it was, we're playing at Wembley. So
now they can say there's only one team with a stadium shaped like a toilet bowl.
Only one
the
team.
The Clorox Stadium.
That has Clorox as a sponsor. It's a silent sponsor.
That's right.
Silent but deadly. Anyhow, my prediction is that I think Spurs are going to whip this one out. I don't know that it's going to hurt
gonna
help us,
out, huh?
But they're going to whip it out 3-1 to the Spurs.
I have 2-1 to PSV because you guys have been really terrible at the Champions League.
You know what? That wouldn't surprise me, unfortunately.
We at least get through the group stages. Good night.
Well, we did last year. We beat and tied Madrid. We tied Madrid in Madrid and beat them at home. Mm. And they ended up winning the whole thing. So come on now. Anyhow, Arsenal are...
Oh, yeah. I guess that's my turn. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about them.
Sporting Lisbon at Arsenal. And this is mostly Dan does all the hard work this, and I just kind of burp and fart in the background. So
and squeeze your honker.
It's really Dan's. It's Dan's podcast. Like, where are we? Oh, that's right. It's only my office. Sporting Lisbon at Arsenal at the Emirates Stadium.
Now, what's depressing about this game? Arsenal are playing on my birthday. That's depressing.
It's Dan's birthday next week.
Yeah. We'll have a birthday podcast.
We're doing... That's going to be your icebreaker.
You should just, like, walk up to random people at that networking event and be like, hi, it's my birthday
today. No, you have the wrong day, because my birthday's on Thursday. You have Wednesday for both of them, and but one's the 6th and the other's the 8th. So this should be that? Tuesday, November 6th, well, right?
It's the 8th, and it's Wednesday in Australia, Dan.
No, that's not how it works. Wait, I got to get these days right. Yeah, so Tottenham's playing on Tuesday the 6th, not Wednesday the 6th, because that isn't happening.
Yeah, but it's a Thursday Arsenal's in Australia.
Arsenal's playing on... is Arsenal playing on Wednesday the 7th or Thursday the 8th? Because you have Wednesday the 8th.
It's Thursday. Okay. It's, yeah.
Yeah,
they don't let the little guys play on Wednesdays. Those are reserved for the Champions League.
Our little networking mixer's the day before.
To be fair, Spurs shouldn't be in the Champions League because they've never been champions. Or have they? They've never been champions of the Premier League.
Barclays Premier League.
Anyway, we're playing Sporting Lisbon.
Spurs won the International Champions Cup this year. So we did get some silverware, dang it.
So the Champions League trophy...
We beat Madrid and Barca in that process.
The Champions League trophy kind of looks like that one, but it's bigger.
It means a whole lot more.
And the Premier League trophy is the same way. And if you go unbeaten, they give you a golden one.
So what's your prediction for the...
3-1. I already said that.
Oh, did you? Well, excuse me.
And then we're going to beat up on Wolves. And Mustafi's going to give away 2 penalties to make Foyth be better. I had 3-1 to the Arsenal next week.
Okay, so I had 3-1 to Arsenal as well in your cup game. You just kind of skipped me.
I always just do 3-1 to the Arsenal because it's a pretty safe bet.
Might as well just keep it. But I have 2-1 to Wolves. So I have Wolves beating you. After the performance they put against us, I think they could actually pull it off.
Okay, then.
So that's what I've got. So, yeah. Spurs are playing Crystal Palace. I actually have a 3-1 to Spurs on that.
I have a 2-1 to Palace with Wilfred Zaha running riot through... Right through Foyth.
He won't.
He's going to run right through Foyth.
He won't because he wants to come to Spurs, I think. So he'll take it.
That's all the more reason for him to run straight through Foyth.
That might be true.
All right. Gold star to you, Brandon.
Gold star to Brandon. We got another hour and 11-minute podcast going here. So.
You're the one that wouldn't shut up about... Let me go check the notes.
You see, yeah, I got to sit here and wait for everything. That's why.
The Super League.
The hour-long podcast that was 30 minutes of talking.
Why would you talk so long about something that's bad news for your team?
30 minutes of waiting on you to look junk up, like how much what the sugar content is in rum.
You were talking the whole time I was doing it.
I was trying to cover it wasn't important. I was covering the dead time where you were searching on Google.
All I'm saying is don't drop the soap and bent there over. I don't think they do that in Danish prisons. I think it's kind of like a 4-star resort. Well, maybe like a 2-star resort. Like, they get their own cable TV, their own little, like, dorm room. It's kind of nice. You ever watch any Danish television? Their prisons look awesome.
I don't...
Like, I want to move... I want to go to
How
Denmark.
How do you watch Danish television?
Netflix. I want to go to Denmark.
They have Danish television?
Get in... Oh, they got all kinds of Scandinavian TV shows.
Well, so Lilyhammer was awesome.
Well, Lilyhammer is like, what started it for
It's
me.
Like Italian meets Sweden. It was
That's
awesome.
What started it for me. You watch Lilyhammer, and then it's like suggested viewing. And then you start watching, and you're like, actually, this is pretty good. So, I want to move... I want to go to Denmark on vacation, commit a crime, and then I'll have no room and board, no food... To have to pay for. No medical to have to
I
pay
won't
for.
Have a place to sleep. I won't have
like,
any food.
I'll have to probably watch Danish football, which would be terrible. But imagine they get some Bundesliga games. Yeah, I can watch Reece
Nelson. Ajax, PSV, Feyenoord. You can watch Robin Van Persie again.
Denmark, Dan. It's a different country.
Danish is Denmark. Am I missing something here?
Eredivisie is in the Netherlands.
Dutch. Sorry.
Have a good week, guys.
We had rum and we talked too long. All
have a good week. Bye.